Last week we talked about, the week before, we talked about application. We were talking about application, applying the scriptures to our lives and understanding that when we receive the knowledge, we have to apply it. That's why we go after the knowledge, you know. Putting the knowledge to use by demonstrating what we've learned is what we're called to do. But with that creates a great deal of change. You know, change is necessary. Now, we even talking around the room tonight, we hear a lot of stories of different experiences of what everybody's gone through and how much change that they've been faced with, right? But change is necessary. And we have to understand this. The law of change states that things do not stay the same. So, if they don't get better, then they're going to get worse. If we're not working on it, then it falls to the wayside. This is a very simple principle in understanding that every single second of every single day, each and every single one of us and everybody else and probably even the life, every single thing, the world, the trees, the ground, the birds, every single thing is ever changing on a second by second by second basis. And we can apply this knowledge and understanding to our lives and understanding that if I'm not putting forth effort into my faith, then it's declining. If I'm not putting effort into my relationship with my family, my brothers, my sisters, my son, my daughter, right, my wife, if I'm not putting that effort into that relationship, then the end result is atrophy, because there's only two directions. We either change for the good or we change for the bad. That's it. We're constantly changing. Everything's changing. There's only one constant that doesn't change. Who can tell me what that is?
Change.
Close. That doesn't change, Bob. That's right. But who? God. That's right. Malachi 3:6 or 6:7. For I, the Lord, do not change. The only constant in this entire environment that we're exposed to is God. Every single thing else is degenerating from the moment it was conceived. Proverbs 1 says, "So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them." Now, what this is talking about is our natural need to want to stay the same, and the repercussion of keeping that as what we do. He said, they will eat the fruit of their own way, be satiated. That's filled to a glutton. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have ever eaten a buffet with me before. I give you an idea of what filled to a glutton means, you know, right, on a lighter sense. But in this application, he means that what we choose to do and what we share every day and how we carry ourselves and what comes out of our mouth and we put our hands to and what we put our time to is what we will be filled with, right? A simple verse in Matthew says, you know, what you reap, you will sow. And that's what this means. And he said, in positive repercussions, negative repercussions, either which direction that we're planting, that's what we're going to reap. We'll be satiated by their own devices. And then it turns into a warning. It says the complacency of fools shall destroy them. You know, in this day and age, we are so easily satisfied. You know, and that's just something that we got to point out, that the world is just so fast and so accommodating that if I can't have it and I can't have it right now, I don't want it. Right? That's kind of our mentality today. Right? Is it not? I mean, if you watch the news and the planet, the world, and everybody you get into, basically, if it's extremely convenient, then it's very popular. If it's not convenient, then it falls to the wayside. Because we as a people want to be so efficient to the point at where we can receive every single thing that we want without earning it. Right? Maybe not every single one of us as an individual, because a lot of us have generated relationship with Christ and learned and worked and grow. But you know as well as I do, a bonus is a bonus and we're happy to receive it, right? Like anybody's happy for, you know, anything to pop up and all of a sudden you get something you didn't deserve. The right mentality would be thank God. Thank God for that. Amen. Right? Be thankful for it. In Romans, he said they didn't even give thanks. But complacency is a sickness. And the mentality that I can just get a house somewhere and I can just have a job somewhere and I can just have a car and my family and you can leave me alone and I can leave you alone and everything will be happily ever after is really a facade. It's a trick. It's not true. If we're not ever growing, then we're ever decreasing. Right? There's never a point in our life where we can set our faith down. There's never a point in our life where we can just be done being active in our relationships with our family, of our wives and our children. Right? But each and every single one of us hold our family dear to each other, right? We do. We care about our family. But how active are we with that family? What do we do above and beyond that was maybe uncomfortable for us to make sure that that relationship is growing? That's what we're called to do in every aspect of our life. You think about, it's just going to change. So if I'm not going to head that and put effort into that, then it's going to change for the worse. See, in Isaiah he says, draw near of the word, for the Lord's indignation is against the nations. My sword will be satiated in heaven. Behold, it does descend for a judgment. And indignation satiates the wrath of God. So as we continue to be content with our own unrighteousness, it begins to build up judgment. And he says, satiated with their own devices. And in another verse, which I don't know if it's on here or not, says, the Lord is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Right? But you got to figure that there's this sand timer that's ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking against me and my sin that I continue to allow in my life to where that day comes along that I run out of time and I have to account for that. Pastor Charles said one time that making a decision that where there's consequences is like it raining outside. And right now we're inside this room. We're not affected by those consequences. But rest assured, it's raining. And when you go through the door, it'll be waiting for you, right? Because you can't take that back. You can't take that back. Every single thing we do is set. In Romans, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, which is indignation, and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them. I want to stop just right there for 1 second, but then he goes on, he says, God made it evident to them. How many times in our lives have we been faced with decisions where our conscience is leading us in one direction and we're just forcing ourselves down that same path of the bad decisions, right? But God's pricking us. He's leading us. He's teaching us. He's working on us. He knows that we're changing. He knows that He wants us to change this right direction. And He says that because that which is known about them is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. You can't tell me you didn't know when you were doing something wrong and you decided to do it anyway, right? You know why I know that, right? Because I do. I do things wrong that I know God's in the back of my mind telling me, no, you better not do that. Amen? And there's only so many days of that I can continue to do that before I have to answer for that. I'd be very naive to think that I could continue on this way. Amen? So he goes on, he says, for the sense of the creation of His world and His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen and understood throughout what has been made, so they are without excuse. For they knew God, but did not honor Him or give thanks to Him, but became futile in their own speculations. What did Pastor Charles just say? How many people got PhDs or the silliest people you ever met in your life? That's what this is saying right here. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image of the form of a corruptible man, for birds, four-footed animals, crawling creatures. So therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, of their impurity, and their bodies that might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped the served creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. We got to look at this example in the beginning that's written there for us to understand that this is what happened to them. God was pricking their heart. God was reaching out to them. God was trying to promote that change in their life. And they kept pushing them off and pushing them off and pushing them off and pushing them off. And eventually what He did was He let them have what they wanted. Amen? Because God's a gentleman. He's not going to force us to do anything. He's not going to come down and grab Bob and shake Bob around and say, that's it, and set Bob back down. But He's watching you, Bob. right? Amen. But the end result is that therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts of impurity so that their bodies might be dishonored among them. So when I have to point this out today, I have to read this and I have to think to myself, what is it that God's pointing out in me? Right? What is God pointing out in you? What is God pricking your heart to do today that he's brought to that light? Because everything in darkness gets exposed by the light. The light is Jesus Christ. The more you move towards Jesus Christ, the more the light shines, the more you understand. The more you understand, the more you change. Amen? Does that make sense? In Hebrews, he says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as the day is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Today, if you still hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And I know there's many of us in here that are battling with different things, but he's saying right here, what's our mentality? A lot of times we talk to different people who have made great progress and then get caught up a little bit. And then what happens? Their brothers and sisters kick them in the shins or knock them down or point at them. I knew you never really changed, Bob. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this day. I knew you didn't change. Amen, right? Right? They do or they don't. They do, maybe not to Bob because he's awesome, but he's a great example to point out. But I mean that's what the world does. The world sits and waits for your progress and rejoices with you so they can partake in that progress because I can get something out of you right now. But when you fall, I knew you were going to do that. I knew he was like, it wasn't no good, right? Right? And the Bible tells us, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, when you think about this, it tells me right now, when I allow these things in my life to continue, it makes me callous. And as I continue to flirt with these things or allow these things in my life, it makes me more and more and more and more callous to the Word of God. So then I don't want to hear it. And it says, today, if you still hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen? Amen. Ephesians. He says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded by the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, they have become callous, given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Now this is the outcome of living my life in sin. If I continue to allow this war to sway me left and right, and I continue to give myself over, eventually the repercussions of this is what he's saying right there in that verse. But in Romans 9, he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. Well, I have to tell you that I'm thankful today that I know that he was patient with me. Amen? Right? How many of you guys are thankful that he's patient with you? Right? Because I don't want to be hardened. I don't want to wake up tomorrow and not get it anymore and not ever have a chance to come back. I don't want to push God down my throat so far to where I can only hear my own wants and needs to the point where I can't hear him anymore. And then it's too late because he says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Amen. That's a warning. Proverbs 18 says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in the revealing of his own mind. So this is what happens. I mean, this is normal. This is kind of the normal fleshly way about it. You piss me off in some way, I run off angry to myself. I don't normally put myself around Christian brothers and sisters. I'm angry right now. So I run off with my anger. And I'm mad. And I'm angry in my mind. And I'm thinking about what am I going to do, right? And the worst thing you can do is get your mouth involved. You ever be mad about something and then all of a sudden you start talking about it, the minute it started coming out your mouth, you snapped? Yes or no? Never happened to you before? It said, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only and the revealing of his own mind. So I separate myself from God to justify my actions and seek my sin and spread my ignorance. And what was only a few weeks ago where we were talking about sin transcending upon the third and fourth and fifth generations. Right? We talked about breaking that chain. Amen? You know, my father was an addict, his father was an addict, I was an addict. I do not want that for my children. Do you want that for your children? Or what is it that you're battling with your family? Do you want that in your line? Amen? It's time to make that change. It's time to accept that change for a better outcome. Break that chain. Proverbs 18:12. We just covered that. So the result is then is a mind of depravity. Now, I know that I've seen it a few times. Like you ever run into somebody and talk to them and you just realize that they're not there anymore? Yes or no? I don't want that for myself. The Bible's warning me that if I keep traveling on, chasing after all my desires, playing God and knowing that I'll just get it right someday, I'll get around to it, whatever, that I may wake up and just not be able to receive that anymore. And I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for my children, amen. I don't want that for you, that's why we're here, amen. But change is unavoidable. So what happens during that time? In Corinthians, he says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the living image of God. So what's happening here is I'm being sold all these promises and ideas of this fictional reality, of this future outcome that I never receive, by the God of this world who's blinded my eyes to see the light of the glory of Christ. Because my job pays so much money. Because my drugs get me so high. Because my women are so good looking. My cars are so fast. Right? Because I'm so whatever I am. Right? Right? I was looking for a word. I didn't get it. So I know there's a word for that. You know? But I start looking at myself and my self-esteem, and I start telling myself I'm better than everybody else, and you know, you're not good enough, and the world buys me into the TV that tells me I gotta be better than my neighbor and all this, and I buy into all that, and all of a sudden, I no longer think about the things of God. I no longer understand the ways of God. I can't feel the love of God. I can't share the love of God, because I'm not housing the love of God, amen? I'm housing the competition of the world. So it's eating me alive. It's tearing me apart. And he's saying that the devil's just so good at selling you that contract. Oh, things are going bad for you. Here you go. I got this for you right now. You're going to be all right. Right? This is going to make you all better. We're going to be all right. You know how to do this. We're going to get this right this time. How many geniuses have you been locked up with? Right? I've been locked up with guys that are so smart, I could almost calculate how fast they were going to be back. You know what I mean? Just listening to their stories. I was like, man, you're here eating noodles right now. You're already figuring out how to come back here. What is going on? There's got to be another outcome. There's got to be another form of thinking. There's got to be another answer. And the fact of the matter is, I bought so much stock in the devil that I can't see God anymore. And that's what he's talking about. So what's the answer to that? He comes back and he says, but whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Amen. That's the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. When no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've been through, that you turn your focus to Jesus Christ and He reach right into you and say, I love you personally. Amen. That's amazing. To take that veil away and you wake up one day and say, man, I can't believe I used to do that. I don't even know how I got there. Yes, you do. I know how I got there. You know how you got there. But if we're here now, don't forget that. Amen. Right? If we're here now and that's there over there, leave it over there. Right? Because he took that veil off. I'm going to put the veil back on and try to do it again. Amen? I don't want to do it again. Yes or no? How many of us are just looking forward to doing 90 more days in prison? 90 more months. You got it in you, Bruce. He made some good oatmeal. I'm going to be honest. I remember that. He made some good oatmeal. You're not ready for that?
Hell no.
You don't plan for that?
Uh-uh. Well, then what do our actions today tell us what we're planning for? What is it that I do when I wake up every day? What am I building every single day to know the direction that I'm going? And that's what he's talking about, man. Stay in that light of the Lord of Jesus Christ and stay on that direction so we can't be bought and sold and tricked anymore. Amen? In Romans, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So change is unavoidable, but change is necessary. And we understand this verse right now here as being part of the key of accepting that law of change. You know, a lot of us just don't change because that's the way we've always been. I got a funny story about that. There was a little girl. So maybe it's a little off, a little stretching a little far. We might be able to pull it off. This little girl, and she's watching her mom cook a roast. Her mom pulls the roast out. She cuts a little piece off of it. She puts it in the thing, puts it all together, gets it all ready, throws it in. She's thinking about it. She says, "Well, why do you cut the end of the roast off, you know?" And she's like, "Well, I don't know. That's the way I've always done it." You know, so she puts it in. They eat, whatever. Holiday comes along. Grandma's house. "Grandma, you taught mom how to cook that roast, right?" "Yes, I did." "You know, how do you do this?" "Well, the first thing I do is I cut the end off and then I put it in the pan and I throw it, I put everything, I put it in there, my secret sauce, and I put it in, bam, it's good to go." "So, well, why do you cut the end?" "Well, I don't know. It's something I've always done. That's why I've always done it that way." So finally, they go visit great grandma and this little old tiny girl comes up and says, "You know, I got a good question to ask you. You taught everybody else how to cook this roast. You know, and everybody cuts the ends off. You know, why do you cut the end off?" And she laughed and she thought, she said, "Man, I can't imagine them guys doing that. You know, the reason why I cut the end off is because my pan was too small." Right? So some of us are just resisting change for no reason at all. You know, we've just always done something one way. That's the way we've always done it. That's the way we're always going to do it. We don't have to question it because it's truth in our mind, because it's the way it's always been. But let me tell you, if we spend time in the Scripture, and this Scripture contradicts the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we act, then that's the time to put that end back on the roast. Amen? That's the time to accept that change, that just because I've been doing something for a long time doesn't make it right. It has to align with the Word of God. Then I'm right. Amen? In Genesis 7, it said, "Cut the roast off, you're good." Right? But it didn't. It didn't. That was just something we always did. Some of us are holding on to that change because it's comfortable. You know, we don't want to change because it's comfortable. But that comfort is causing us stress and pain and a lifestyle that brings more anxiety than it's worth. Philippians 3 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." I apologize. "Citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with His body of glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things unto Himself." Now you think about this promise that God has for each and every single one of us, and me being one of us that absolutely doesn't deserve an inch of it, right? And He says that He will transform the body of my humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. Amen? What a powerful thing. Acts 26 says, "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to the light, from dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness by faith in Me." To open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to the light. So God reaches out directly to where we are, no matter what we're going through, what we got, where we've been, what we've done. There's not a single thing that eliminates or separates us from each other, from the love of God, period. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, reaching to us directly to love us individually, every single one of us equally, to turn from darkness to the light, from the dominion of Satan to God. And that's what happens when that veil comes off. And He says, "To receive forgiveness by faith in Me." Amen? John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows Me shall not walk in darkness,
but he will live and have the light of life. So we got two choices. There's no middle ground. And today, when you guys go home tonight and you're thinking about this message, you got to look at every individual that's in your life and those that you love and ask yourself, am I being who I need to be today to show them who I want to be? Amen. To show them that I love them, to put forth that energy and that effort into my life and their life, regardless of whether it's convenient for me or not, to make certain that I'm growing in every aspect. And the most important part that we can do is make sure that we're blocking out that time to increase our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we're reading the Word weekly. We need to make sure that we're in places that are conducive to spirituality, because that's where we grow. If I show up to church on Sunday for 45 minutes and I go into the rest of that chaos the rest of the week and you leave me alone the entire time, I promise you I'm defeated. Amen. If I stop reading the Bible and I stop getting in church, if I stop getting with my spiritual advisors and I separate myself, I'm declining in my faith. And the law of change states that it's absolutely not going to stay the same. So I can either be mindful of the fact that God is in my life and I want God in my life, that my wife is in my life and I want my wife in my life, right? Because you would think about that. There's many a days that I go home and she's unappreciated, you know, not appreciated, right? I go home and I'm hungry and I'm tired and I worked or whatever, and I don't go the extra mile for the kids or the wife or the family or for my mom who lives by herself, or, you know what I mean? There's lots of relationships that I care about that I could be putting effort in, and I believe that you yourselves can agree. Yes or no?
Yes.
So by shining that light of the love of Christ through us in that effort of making sure that they're supported and giving that glory back to God, we're going to improve these relationships and we're going to lead everybody to the light. And in that change, we will succeed. Amen. That's it for today. He did?